Would invite you to take your Bibles and turn along with me as we go through a portion of what God has taught us. In some ways, this lesson can be looked at as more of the fundamental type of things that we talk about in Christianity. But it's a question that comes up quite often that we look through the Scriptures, we read about baptism, and there are so many people who want to deny what's very plainly, what very obviously is taught in the Scriptures, and try to justify something else other than baptism in water. Now, what we're going to do today is focus on that passage that we had in Ephesians chapter 4 as our Scripture reading. In that passage, Paul is talking about the unity of the church. And in talking about it, he lists out seven things that are ones. One of the things that's pointed out there is that there is one baptism. Yet if you go through your New Testament, you'll find that there are a number of baptisms. And so the question that we're going to address today is basically, you can look at it in really fine detail, is how can there be just one baptism when the Bible obviously talks about a number of them. Now, in order to understand that, of course, baptism means immersion. That's all that the word means. You need to jump into the swimming pool, you're being baptized. Okay. Well, while we use it in a religious sense, the word just means immersion. In fact, in some of the Greek writings and stuff like that, when somebody was washing clothes, it talks about them baptizing the shirts and, or whatever, the tunics. Okay, that's what that word means. Now, you can have different baptisms depending on what medium something is being immersed in. You immerse something in oil, that would be a whole lot different than immersing it in water. Okay. Who administers the baptism sometimes can make a difference of what kind of baptism we're talking about. Or even who is being baptized. Okay, so let's take a look at the types of baptisms, just as a brief one. We have some baptisms that are different because of who administered the baptism. For example, there's a baptism of John. We're just going to go through the passages. And I know a lot of us are familiar with most of these, but I want to get the details down so that when you're talking with somebody, even if you don't have to go to this level of detail, at least you got it in the back of your mind. In Matthew chapter 21, and in verse 25, it says, the baptism of John, was it from what source? From heaven or from men? That was Jesus' question. But he calls it the baptism of John. Okay, so John had performed baptisms, and it was his baptism. But there was also a baptism that was of Jesus. In John chapter 3, after talking with Nicodemus about the need for entering the church, and it had to be by water and by the Spirit, we find in verse 22 of John chapter 3, it says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. Now this is in contrast to John's, because John's disciples then became upset about it. In verse 26, it said, they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. They're upset. This is not John baptizing. This is Jesus baptizing. And if we go to chapter 4 and look at verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. We'll come back to that particular phrase there a little bit later. But there's a baptism of Jesus. It's different from the baptism of John. John's disciples understood that. It was not the same baptism. But there's another baptism that is associated with somebody. It's back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't often think of it as a baptism, other than that Paul refers to it in that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1, it says, "For I want you to know, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now we know about the leaving of Egypt by the crossing of the Red Sea, and they actually walked between the waters. They weren't actually in the waters. But Paul says that's a kind of a baptism. They were following Moses. It was a baptism into Moses in that sense. Now we also have different types of baptism referring to the different types of mediums, the things that people are baptized into. There is a baptism of water. In Acts chapter 8, there's several passages we could use, but this is probably the easiest one to use. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. It's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, and as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" So here's a baptism that's in water. The fact that there was water available of sufficient quantity made the eunuch says, "Hey, I can be baptized." But there's another baptism, not in water, but in fire. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John is talking about the one who's coming after him, talking about Jesus the Christ. He says, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, that's a different thing to think about, being immersed in fire. In, of course, John also mentions that Jesus is going to baptize in spirit, in the Holy Spirit as well. But another passage, let's just take a look at Mark chapter 1, verse 8. Basically a parallel of the one we just read, but he says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's a different medium. It's a different baptism than being baptized by water. It's certainly different from being baptized by fire. And it's a different medium that we're being baptized. Jesus also talks about a different type of baptism in Mark chapter 10. When he talks about his sufferings and his death upon the cross, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 38, "But Jesus said to him, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I'm baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm being baptized." And what Jesus is referring to is not an immersion in water or immersion in another way. He's talking about his suffering. He's talking about his death upon the cross. He's saying, it's going to be totally immersed in suffering. And he's telling James and John that they're going to also experience a similar immersion into suffering. In Luke chapter 12, another verse on that same topic, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 50, "But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished." This is not something pleasant. This was a baptism of distress. This is a baptism of suffering. Now, when we also look at baptisms, then we can say that we can look at who these baptisms were for. A lot of times these are overlooked. But who is the baptism for, some will make a difference on what kind of baptism we're talking about. Like, for instance, John's baptism wasn't for everyone. John came to prepare Israel for the coming of Christ. In fact, the prophecy about it in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. says, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. And when John baptized, is talked about all of Israel coming out to be baptized. And yet, some did not agree to it. Some did not consent to being baptized. In Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7 and verse 29, it says, when all the people, the tax collectors, heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, and having been baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. John had a message that was for Israel. The common people were being baptized. The religious leaders rejected it. So it wouldn't be correct to say, like, for instance, a Roman like Pontius Pilate, who was in Israel. We wouldn't say that he rejected John's baptism. It wasn't even offered to him. We could talk about the Pharisees. We could talk about the Sadducees, how they rejected it. But we wouldn't be able to say about the Romans or the Greeks or other people there that it wasn't for them yet. John's baptism was for Israel, to get Israel ready for the coming of the Lord. Moses' baptism that we mentioned back in 1 Corinthians 10, that too was a baptism that was for Israel. Because it was only those who were escaping Egypt by crossing the Red Sea that were baptized into Moses. And it talks about, it refers back to the event that's in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, starting with verse 29, says, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and the Israelites saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. So by crossing the Red Sea, they began following Moses. They believed in God. They were saved from the Egyptians. And that's why Paul calls it a type of a baptism. But, you know, later generations, even though they were Israelites, they couldn't receive the baptism of Moses. They benefited from the baptism of Moses. People like David and Solomon, and name all the Israelites, they weren't in slavery anymore. They weren't held in captivity in Egypt anymore. They benefited from that baptism. Yet they themselves did not experience that particular baptism. Of course, we have to say this is true from the baptism of Christ. We talk about his suffering and his death on the cross. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 35. And I think I got the wrong passage down. At least what I'm looking at here. Hold on a second. Yes, yeah, Mark 10. Mark 10. Apologies for that. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant that we may sit on your right and one on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized. But to sit on my right hand or my left, that is not mine to give, but is for those to whom it has been prepared. Jesus said, I'm going to be baptized in a baptism of suffering. He told James and John, yes, you are going to be baptized in a baptism of suffering. We might be able to extend that even to the other disciples. But it doesn't mean that you or I are baptized in a baptism of suffering. Now, some of us do go through some really hard times. But when Jesus was talking about this, he wasn't talking about everyone. He was only talking about himself and James and John in particular. Now, we benefit from the suffering of Christ upon the cross. But it's like just like the baptism of Moses, we can't personally experience it as well. Now, the baptism of fire that we mentioned in Matthew chapter 3, let's go back to that one. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Again, John is just talking. He says, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear out his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barns, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What is John referring to? What fire never gets quenched? He's referring to hell. One of the things that what John is saying is, I'm baptizing you with water to get you people to repent. But I don't have nearly the power of the one who's coming after me. He is able to command the Holy Spirit. That's God. He's able to baptize with the Holy Spirit. But not only that, he's also able to baptize with fire. He has the right to send people to hell. That's something none of us can do. John's stating this to say how great and how powerful the one is coming after him. But this is a baptism for sinners. A baptism that's yet to occur. Revelation describes it as a lake of fire that people are thrown into. This is a baptism I think none of us want to experience. See, when we read the prophecies about the other baptism, the one we have left, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we find that it was told that it would happen to the disciples soon after Jesus' resurrection. In Acts chapter 1 and in verse 5, Jesus said, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from hence. This particular baptism that Jesus is referring to, that he's talking to the disciples about, he said was going to occur in a few days. Peter refers to it, looking back at it, in Acts chapter 11, and we will dig into the baptism of the Holy Spirit deeper this evening, Lord willing, depending on how fast I get through all my notes. But in Acts chapter 11 and in verse 15, it says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. He's talking about Cornelius and his household, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the words of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now it's interesting the way Peter's phrasing that. This is not a common event. Peter was reminded of it when Cornelius' household experienced the same thing that he and the other apostles experienced at the beginning. Well, what about all the other baptisms that occurred between there and this point? The way Peter's stating this, he's saying this has only happened twice. This happened with Cornelius just like it did it with us at the beginning. He's not referring to all the other baptisms that took place in between. It becomes something that happened twice in recorded history. It was for the apostles and for the first Gentile believers. We don't have any record of anybody else. But the baptism in water is for all believers. In Acts chapter 8, going back to that passage, going back to Acts chapter 8, verse 36, and it went along the road, and it came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the eunuch was baptized. What is a condition for someone to be baptized in water? What hinders me from being baptized? Well, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus. Well, I believe. Then it is something for the believer. It's for any believer. Now, what we need to take note of is the fact that every one of those baptisms were important. There's not one of those baptisms that was less important than the other one. The baptism that the Israelites experienced by following Moses out of Egypt, was that important? Oh yeah. It was very important for those people at that time. Its impact affected Israel for the rest of Israel's existence. It was important. The fact that it was not continuing didn't change its importance. The baptism is coming, the baptism in fire, that's important. Most of us want to avoid that one. Okay. So we're not rating the various baptisms saying this is a better baptism or a less important baptism. Every one of them is important. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the apostles first gave it, there's a purpose behind it. There's a reason for it. It's important. The question, though, what we want to look at, though, is which is the baptism that Paul talked about as being the one baptism? See, by saying that there's just one baptism, he's saying all the other ones are not active right now. Only one of them is active. Not that only one is important, but only one is currently in play. All the other ones had a purpose, but that purpose has passed or is yet to be. And so we want to look at that. All the other ones are unavailable. We want to know which one is the baptism that is available. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause there because we're going to dig deeper into that. But if I start now, I'm going to leave it halfway in between. So this is a good breaking point. So we're going to look back at it again this evening. We're going to go back through these and look at it to see if we understand the characteristics. We're going to pick out three of the more obvious ones and talk about the baptism of John, the baptism of Jesus in water, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. and look at the characteristics of them. Look at the thing. Because sometimes you look through and you find a word and a passage is basically, it just says they were baptized. Well, which baptism was it? How do you know that this is a particular baptism? Actually, Moses' lesson started out because Tanya had asked me a question a while back because she was talking with somebody. How do you know these are baptisms in water? So we're going to talk about how we can actually put it in, enough information down to say, yes, of course, this has to be the one. But we got a lot of digging to do. So we're going to begin that this evening. I'm hoping I'm going to finish it this evening, too. We'll see how well it goes. But for right now, though, we want to make sure you understand that there is the opportunity to become a child of God, to do what God has asked of us. And one of those things that Christ has asked for us is to be baptized in His name, to be baptized in water, to wash away our sins. If there's anyone here today who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. Because we have an opportunity while we're here, gathered here today. If there's anyone here who is a child of God and would like to pray as their brethren on their behalf, also we leave that opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.